interviewing Wayne Nichols for the Bracero History Project. It is the 22nd of September, 2008, and I am in Mark Tree, Arkansas. Mr. Nichols, where were you born?
North of here, Twin Yen Lepanto, about 5 miles.
And when were you born?
37.
1937?
Mm-hmm.
What was the town like when you were growing up?
Mark Tree and Lepanto.
Mm-hmm.
Full of people, especially on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
People lived out in the country. Every 40-acre farm, usually there was 2-3 houses. And people would farm 15-20 acres, and it was just people, a lot of people in this area at the time.
Mm-hmm. And your parents? What was your parents' profession?
Farming.
Farming?
Mm-hmm.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
Four.
Four?
Four brothers and one sister.
Did you go to school there in Lafayette?
Mm-hmm.
And at what age did you start working?
Well, when I got out of high school, that's when I got out of high school. You talking about working full time?
Mm-hmm. Or even
part time?
Any kind of work?
Oh, I'd stack groceries and grocery stores in town on Saturday and whatever. But I went to work after I got out of high school for Ritter & Company, and then after that I went to school and went into the Army and came back. But prior to that, that's when I was, what little I know about the Mexicans is when they were in this area.
Mm-hmm. When was the first time that you actually had contact with them?
I imagine it was probably 54, 55, somewhere in that neighborhood. Because they'd come in and buy groceries, you know, in the grocery store where I was working. And then when I went to work for Ritter & Company, they'd come in. You know, we'd go get them and take them to the grocery store on Friday night.
And what was your first impression of these men when they brought them in? Did they talk about the Bracero program before bringing the men in so that you were...
Well, yeah, everybody was familiar with it because what had happened, the labor in this part of the country that was harvesting crops and chopping cotton and whatever else had started going north after the war. And it just wasn't enough people to harvest the crops or to make the crops, and they had the program of bringing them in, and a lot of people participated in it.
Mm-hmm.
Those folks wanted to work, and we needed the labor.
Mm-hmm. Did they prepare the community before they brought these men in?
Were they prepared?
Yeah. Did they tell the community members here, or store owners, or?
Oh, yeah, yeah, everybody knew this coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What did they tell you guys?
Well, that they were coming in to work. I mean, it wasn't any, wasn't a problem, you know.
And how did they tell you? Did they tell you, did people tell you, or did you read about it?
Oh, I guess it was probably just general knowledge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how did they get here? Did they bus them in?
Early, I think they did later, but early they brought them in on trailer trucks. Mr. Collins will tell you about that because he drove the truck.
Mm-hmm.
He'd haul them in from down there.
Mm-hmm.
And really, right today, if it wasn't for the Mexicans coming in to work, a lot of things wouldn't be done in this part of the country right now or anywhere in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Those folks want to work, and our folks don't. Our folks want welfare.
And so when they first came in, do you remember the first time you actually had contact with one of these braceros? Do you remember either speaking to them or directing them?
Oh, I suppose that probably in the grocery stores, when they were in buying groceries, is probably the first contact. Then we would go out and get them on Friday afternoon late, bring them into town to buy groceries, and of course they'd buy their groceries and put them in the trucks and whatever, and then you know, we'd give them a few hours and they'd go to the beer joint and buy them a beer and drink a beer. And some get a little wobbly, but generally they, you know, they'd go load them up and go back home about 10, 11, or 12 o'clock. And, but the things that I remember about, their houses were always clean. Do you remember that, Gail? Mm-hmm. Their houses were clean. Mm-hmm. They kept them cleaned out, swept, and they did. And usually there was one person that's probably a good cook, and he was usually the cook in the group. But they worked hard and just, you know, to them is a lot of money because they could take the money they made here and go back home and live comfortably, them and their family, for quite a long time. And sewing machines, I don't know if y'all are familiar with a sewing machine, but there was an old foot pedal sewing machine. You ever heard the story about they'd buy everyone they could find and send them back because they didn't have a lot of sewing machines there, and they could buy them for like $20, $25. And they'd buy them and ship them back to their wife, you know, to do the mending and the sewing and whatever else. And there was always one or two, a few in each house that could speak a little English. And I think some of them were actually professional people, you know, like teachers. But they could make more money up here in a short period of time. And I think the way the system worked, the Mexican government would, they called them consulates, and they would group them and send them up, you know, and I don't know how they chose them there, but you know, there was never any problems. Oh, you'd have one occasionally get in jail, but there wasn't any problems with them. They just...
If they occasionally got jailed, what would it be for?
Oh, drunk. Drank too much beer at the beer joint. And at that time, it was, I think somebody told me there was 13 here at one time. So, you know, it was a beer joint every
100 years. 13 beer joints?
Huh?
13 beer joints, you're saying?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, in town, yeah.
And so, when you would bring them into the town and take them to the store, how would you speak to them? Because, I mean, did they understand what you were saying, or did they...
Well, it was, you know, I could understand a few words and they could understand something. I really think they probably understood more than I thought they did. But they knew when you said 11 o'clock
I can understand that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, whatever the time was, we were going home. And just let them do whatever they wanted to do and buy the groceries. They'd buy the groceries, put them in the truck, and then they'd go on and do their...
Did you ever see any bigger problems other than them getting drunk? Was there ever anything else that happened?
I don't ever remember a problem at all. I don't remember a problem. Do you, Gail? I don't remember any criminal activity that they did, and I just don't. I would imagine they were selective who they sent. Don't you imagine? The Mexican government, they wouldn't just send somebody that's a habitual criminal. But I don't ever remember any problem at all of anything that they ever did criminal.
And you said you worked for the Ritter Company.
Mm-hmm.
And where did the Ritter Company have facilities for these men?
Well, what they did, you'd take a farmhouse that people had moved out of, and then you would move them on different farms, wherever you need them to pick cotton or to chop cotton or whatever. And you'd fix up a house, a farmhouse that people had lived in prior. And you'd put the army cots in and the stoves, and you furnished them everything. And they'd come in and, of course, live there and camp there till they got ready to go back home.
Who lived there in these
farmhouses? Mm-hmm. Well, folks that used to work on the farm that had migrated north or had left the farm. It was just, there weren't any houses that was built just for them. It was just houses that had emptied because people had left the country.
What exactly did you do for the Ritter Company?
Well, I've done a little,
at that point, what were you doing?
Little of everything. When I came back from the Army, I went back to work farm. I sold farm equipment at the equipment dealership, became the manager. Then I was given the oil company to manage and those two businesses. Then I was given responsibility of, I moved into the corporate headquarters, and I was responsible for cotton gin, grain elevator, you know, pretty well a lot of the operation. And worked there for 42 years and retired.
And in the time that there were braceros, did you have contact with them more than just driving them out to the stores?
Oh, yeah. You'd go get them, and or you'd take them to the, if they were picking cotton, say, over here, you'd take them over there, and sometimes I'd do that, and sometimes somebody else would do it, but, you know, there was, you know, I, as far as contact other than they had to be paid once a week and that sort of thing, so, you know, it wasn't like a daily contact because they'd do their job, and somebody was there keeping weights and whatever, or the cotton picked, or the days chopped, or whatever. And no, they were pleasant folks. I don't ever remember a problem. I don't remember any problem.
When they worked the field, did they work the field by themselves, or were there local folks also working the fields with them?
Generally, I think they worked by themselves, you know, with their group. I think that's, as far as being integrated, I don't remember that. It probably was.
There was someone out there with them, though, a manager or someone watching over them, like weighing
cotton. Well, yeah, weighing cotton, but yeah, if it's chopping, it'd be a foreman there. But I don't remember them pick. I don't remember either one. With other workers. No, not that I ever remember. No, they knew the crop had to be, you know, you had to get the crop out. No, it didn't. I don't know if anybody, I probably was somebody complained about it, but, you know, you're going to have that. But it wasn't any hostility or, I just don't remember any problems, really.
And when they were here, what would happen if they would get hurt in the field or anywhere?
We would take them to the doctor. Take them to the doctor and whatever was wrong with them, and if there's an injury, you know, that where they were disabled, they'd send them back to Mexico, and I assume there was a Mexican consulate in Memphis, and I assume my guess is that they probably helped see about the crews in these areas here, and you know, a lot of contact, and they'd send them back on the bus or whatever, and if it was somebody injured severely enough that they couldn't work or whatever. But no, they were taken care of just like anybody else. If they need to go to the hospital, they'd take them.
Socially, did they hang out and try at least to talk to some of the local folks in our
town? Oh, yeah. And the local folks, same way. I mean, it wasn't, everybody was friendly. I mean, they were friendly to them, and they were friendly to the folks, and yeah, I'd say a lot of them probably learned, you know, I learned several words and to kind of get along.
They like to learn too.
And they like to learn too. They like to learn English.
They like to converse.
Yeah.
How did you learn some?
Oh, just listening to them, and you know, they'd take me up and they'd say, that's leche and whatever else it was. Yeah. I remember those things. And you know, dos, tres, cuatro, they count, you know, dollar bills.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the way you can communicate.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot a lot of the words, but you know, you could communicate.
How long did it take you to learn some of this stuff?
Oh, just shortly, I mean, you know.
And when when you employ these braceros, did you ever notice that there were other people who were coming through to work in Arkansas, Mexicans, that were not braceros?
No.
Really?
No Texas Mexicans? Or?
No, I don't remember any at all.
And when they came in, did you notice if any of them, when they went to bars and when they went out at night, did they also in those settings hang out with the local folks in Arkansas?
No, they'd go into the beer joints and go, there's people running the joints. And they'd set up the bar and drank their beer just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. So, but as far as hanging out, I don't think they hung out with anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. They were kind of to themselves because they worked hard. They worked, you know, when they were here, they worked every day if it wasn't raining. And of course, if it rained, they'd wash their clothes and do the things that they'd, and a lot of times they would cook extra food to where they wouldn't have to, you know, they could eat a day or two with the food that they had cooked where they could work longer, make more money.
Mm-hmm. Did the Mexican consulate or the IMS or anyone ever come and check up what was happening in your particular farm when you were working there?
I don't remember one ever coming, but I think what happened, you would take them every so often. So I think some had to go to Memphis to be interviewed. You'd have to take them there, I think. James Collins, will tell you more about that than I can, because I think he did some of that. But I don't ever remember any of them ever coming out. Now, they may have come and checked on the houses to make sure they were to their standards. I don't know. But I don't remember any problems. If they did, it was just something minor. Because I assume they had a list. I don't remember exactly, but I assume they had a list of what you needed to do. Do you really like something to drink? Got some cokes.
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you.
No water.
No, I'm okay. Thank you so much.
Did you see some of these men repeatedly long enough so that you knew their names and knew who they were?
Oh yeah.
Did you see some of these men for years on end? Like
no.
Some of the men. Continue to come back?
No, I don't remember that. I don't remember them coming out back. You know, they might have gone somewhere else or some might have come back to the area. I don't know. But I don't remember seeing any year after year.
Did you ever witness any of these men trying to stay here longer than permitted? No.
No, because that... No, they didn't run off. Because, I assume we were responsible for getting them back on that. Because, you know, you couldn't, all you could do is turn over to the police if they left. But no, they'd always go back. Starts getting cold, they get to want to go home. And now, same way, you know. Those at work here now. Starts getting cold, they're ready to go back south. Don't blame them.
Did you ever notice as well that any of these men would want to, say, for instance, you know, go out to more than the bar, dances or anything of that nature?
Didn't have dance halls. Just beer joints.
Just beer joints. Yeah. Huh.
Mm-hmm. No, I never did see anything, you know, like that going on. It did. Yeah, they would. They would.
Hmm. So they would entertain themselves. Mm-hmm. And us.
Oh, really? They play guitar for you?
Yeah, they just live by our house. They didn't live much farther here to the river from us.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to join the conversation and sign a release form so that we can use some of this material?
Yeah, sure.
My other question would be, how did they, you know, being groups of all men, how did they interact with young ladies like yourself? Did they ever, you know, were they very respectful?
Very.
They were appreciative to people. Mm-hmm. Very appreciative. Because Because I would imagine, you know, if they made $15, $20 a day, it's probably more than they'd make down there in a month. And, or longer. It might not even been work, but no, I don't remember. I cannot think of a negative thing.
Did you know, for example, where these men were coming from in Mexico? Or you just...
They'd accumulate them to the border.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, how they did it down there, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
And all of these men spoke Spanish, and none of these men were non-Spanish speakers?
No.
Okay. My other question for you is, when they went to the stores, you were starting to name a couple of the things that were the most popular items, like Singers. Did you notice other things that they really liked?
Well, they had the tortillas and beans and the meats. They'd like veal was a big item for them.
Huh.
They'd love that veal.
Was veal expensive then?
Well, it was, but they didn't buy much of it. And, you know, give them a little, you know, I guess it, you know, it was a novelty to them. But they knew what it was. I mean, they definitely knew what it was. But they, you know, they didn't waste their money. They didn't buy the light breads or the, you know, the homemade or the bread made store bread, and they didn't buy. They bought their beans and their staples. Was 90% of it. And they'd buy some meat. They'd buy chickens and, you know, and that sort of thing. But
where did they get their tortillas from?
They'd make them.
Oh, they themselves would make them.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. You go buy them, don't you?
What was that?
I said she goes and buys them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They sure did. They roll them out. And there's a mix that you can get. I assume the stores all had it, wasn't it?
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
Very popular mix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And these men would.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh no, they were little houses, right? Little homes.
Well, yeah, you call them. Yeah, they were houses. You could call it a barracks if you wanted to, because it's 15 or 20 in there. You know, it'd be a house that'd have 4 or 5 rooms in it. And then they'd have, I don't know, 4 or 5 in a room. So, you know, it could be 10, 15 in a house. And
did they always get along? I can imagine that.
Well, I think there has been. I think occasionally you'd have them where maybe one didn't get along, but what you'd do, you'd move them with another crew. You'd swap them.
How do you put together crews?
You know, I think probably what they did, they probably became acquainted, and they might have been from the same area. And I guess it kind of hang together, and when you're scouting them off, hopefully they'd all being where they wanted to be, but they'd get off the trucks and you'd line them up, and if you wanted 15 or 20, whatever it was, so I'm assuming what they'd do, they'd just get together.
Had you seen very many Mexicans here in town before the braceros came?
No, wasn't any.
No, from Texas, nothing.
What was your first impression of these men? I mean, what did they, when they crossed over, and by the time they got here, what did they look like? What were they wearing?
Well, they, like everybody else, they were poor. They had sandals on. Most of them had sandals on. And they'd come in, when they'd go home, they'd come in. I know they'd have to come in with their kind of a shawl type thing that they, what'd you call them, that they'd wrap around them. But anyway, I assume they brought them with them because that's usually what they left with when it started getting cold. But, you know, I
don't remember looking shabby.
No, I don't. No, I don't think they didn't.
Presentable.
Yeah, they were. But they'd wear those sandals now that was made out of automobile tires. Cut up automobile tires.
I don't remember that one.
They would. But, you know, they, like I said, they weren't shabby. They were just, like I said, these folks, they wanted to work, and everybody wanted somebody to work, so work right.
They were welcome.
Yeah.
For the record, can you state your name so that the transcriber knows?
I'm Gail Nichols.
And when were you born?
1936.
And where?
9 miles south of Mark Tree.
9 miles south of Mark Tree. And what did your parents do?
Farm.
Farmers as well?
Right.
And do you remember roughly when the first time you met Abracero or the first time you received about Abracero was?
No, I don't remember just exactly when. And probably about the same time that Wayne remembers them, in the early, what, 50s?
Yeah, because yeah, we were... 50s, probably. 52, 3, 4, somewhere along in there.
Anyway, in the 50s. And they just came to work on the farm, and, you know, we just didn't treat them any differently than, you know, we would have treated anybody else. And they were always very polite and very respectful, and we, in fact, we just kind of enjoyed them being around because it was something new for us kids, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to listen to them talk and play their music. And they worked hard. And then, you know, that's, I just remember my older sister was telling me that one of the elderly gentlemen that was with them wanted him to, daddy, to go to the consul in Memphis and see if it was possible for him to stay because he didn't want to go back. He liked it here. So.
Did any of these men, at least on your daddy's farm, ever manage to stay longer?
No, I think they came and went as a group, if I remember correctly.
And on your daddy's farm, did they also stay in little houses as well?
No, we only had probably 15 or 20. And we had it was our grain barn. It was a real nice area that we just, daddy fixed up for them to live in.
How big was this grain barn?
Oh, big. I couldn't tell you how big. It was big enough to house.
Bigger than this house.
Oh yeah, it was a large barn. It was not. I mean, it was a nice building. You could call it a. Daddy kept his grain in there because he raised hogs and we had cattle and, you know, I mean, horses and cows and so that's where he kept his grain. But there was one part of it that was really nice. I mean, it's nice enough for anybody to live in.
What did your father put in the actual barn? Cots.
Mm-hmm.
Table.
Mm-hmm. Just outfitted it for them to have, you know, to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And where did they cook?
You know, they must have had some kind of a burner outside because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't ventilated. So they probably, it was covered. It had a covered walkway around it, all the way around it, or around the front one side. And I'm sure they had a burner. Some kind of stove that Dad fixed up for them, some kind of gas stove for them to use to cook on.
How far was the barn from the actual fields?
Well, it's according to, well, would you say a quarter of a mile from our house to over to the farthest field?
Probably, but a lot of the fields are right around the market.
Yeah. Just right there, you could throw a rock and hit them.
Can I ask what your dad's name was?
Harry Klein.
And how far away was the barn from your home? Could you see them from your windows?
Yeah, as far near that river. Just real close. Oh, yeah. It wasn't like that we were afraid of them. Or
well, and let me say this. You were asking questions. There's four of those girls. So, you know, they didn't bother them.
No. Very treated us. And were very careful that they did. Mm-hmm. You know, that they didn't appear to, you know, want to be a little forward or anything. They were just very, very reserved and very polite when they came and tried to talk to us. But they could tell us what words. I don't know why they could do that.
They all knew a little.
But I could ask them. I could ask them what this was, and they would tell me what it was in Spanish. You know, I mean, they'd know what I was talking about, and I thought I can figure that out because they would know.
But you know, most of them are, I'm sure, was family people. You know, family men. They had wife and children. And
what did your daddy tell you to prepare you for, and your sisters, for these men living so close? Did you guys have a family conversation?
When you grew up on a farm, you just weren't, you know, like today, people are afraid. They're a little, skeptical about things. We just grew up trusting people and living a good life. And, you know, when, I don't know if Daddy ever came in and sat us all down and said, hey, gals, we're going to have some new help around here. Of course, we never did stay out, you know, we went to school. We never stayed out and picked cotton. Now, we'd work in the summertime when we weren't in school. But when September came, we went to school. We children went to school. But I don't remember him ever coming in and say, I mean, it was common knowledge because there wasn't anybody. Everybody left the farm. You ask about all these houses. Everybody had gone. Hmm. You used to see a house just, you know, now you drive miles and you don't see a house. But then there were people everywhere, but after they left, there wasn't anybody to work, so you wanted the crops out.
Were you girls both raised in a city? Mm-hmm. We never locked a door. Hmm. Never locked a door.
Your daddy never locked a door, even having these men?
Nope. No, we never locked a door. And left the car keys in the vehicles. You just lived a very
well, everybody was. You know, it was good folks, you know, lived around. It wasn't a bunch of hoodlums. Everybody worked and worked hard and respected other people's property.
I bet we didn't even have a door key. I doubt if we even have a door key to any of our doors in our house. I remember seeing one. And we would go, if we would go off 2 or 3 days.
Who helped your daddy in his farm prior to these men coming in, the Braceros coming in?
There were people on the farm. They had,
and you always had tractor drivers and people. You know, everybody didn't leave, just a lot of them. But you always had your tractor drivers.
And their wives and children.
Yeah.
I know Daddy had one tractor driver mechanic that stayed with him, I guess, until he quit farming. And then he had a wife. And then we had a colored family that lived on our farm once. And then there was just... there were just people around that would just, you know, when you had work to be done, they would get through with theirs, and they'd just help you out. They'd just come pick the cotton. But it was really serious after everybody started going to Michigan and California or wherever they went.
Yeah, Chicago, California. A lot of them went to California and Michigan.
Chicago and Michigan mainly, and California.
Most of the blacks went to Chicago for some reason. The whites went to Michigan, and a lot of the whites went to California.
So when a lot of the African American blacks left to Chicago, the Braceros started coming in a couple of years later, or did you remember when that shift happened? Or was it immediately that all of these folks had left?
Pretty close, because you had to get the crops out. And of course, mechanical cotton pickers was there, but you'd get a wet year and you couldn't use them and whatever. So this kind of created a problem. And then when they started putting the rules and regulations to where people couldn't afford to bring the Mexicans in, the mechanization, cotton pickers improved and whatever. And then that
eliminated the need for
them.
Yeah.
When you lived, living so close to these men, did they ever, try to talk to you or joke with you,
you know, have a friendship with you?
Nothing other than just to have a, you know, try to have a conversation with someone. Nothing forward, you know, nothing out of a, you know, that was not just like it should be.
Yeah.
You know, just a gentleman. And we were just, of course, we were just, you know.
They probably had children as old as y'all were. You know.
You know, I think that, you know what, I think they really liked to just learn. I think they liked to be around someone that they could learn from and just to get to know more about their surroundings, what, where they were and what they were doing. I think that was a lot of it. They just had an eagerness to know more about how we lived and what, you know, the things that was going on around our family. They just, I think that they found that interesting.
So how did you have those kind of communications? How did you talk to them about those things?
Well, they would ask us, how do you say this, you know, in Spanish, they'd say, or how do you say this in English? And then we would tell them, and then they just wanted to learn, you know, they just wanted to learn. And we were, of course, living that close, you know, we were, I don't know how we'd get, they'd just mingle around, I guess, and we'd be outside and we'd just talk to them, you know, and we weren't afraid of them. You know, they were just nice people.
When you were younger, did you understand why they were there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew. I was, well, I was.
On the farm, you knew everything. I mean, I'm serious. You know, as far as you had animals, you knew all of, you know, you knew the facts of life when you were 5 years old. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just the way it was. I mean, seriously.
The cow's having a calf, or
yeah,
the mare's having
a foal, yeah.
Colt, and so. The pigs are having pigs. The sows are having pigs. So it's just it's a good life. It was a good life. It was a great life. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
How many years did your daddy have these men coming back and forth?
You know, I thought he had them several years, but my sister said only one. But I remember them, and then I remember the family that lived next to the store. Now, whether they were, I'm not sure that they were the fall, just that came in at the fall. I'm not sure that family didn't come in their vehicles or something.
Who was this family?
I don't know. I just remember there was a woman in the group.
Did they were a Mexican family?
Mm-hmm.
Now those might have been Texas Mexicans.
And they may have.
Yeah, it's probably was.
But they lived in that Swepston store.
Or they might have let them come up. They might have let them come up.
I don't know, but I just remember her because she was, she'd make some of the best food, you know. I remember that, but I don't, as far as knowing where they came from, I guess I probably did at the time because we always ask them, we'd talk their ears off, you know, to just get them to talk to us. Well, it was kind of a novelty if you really want to know the truth because, you know, you've lived on the farm all your life and we sort of live a sheltered life down there. We didn't, our church was our only outlet, you know, because my mother and dad were Christians and we didn't, you know, they didn't party and we just lived a very comfortable but a sheltered life. So this was really kind of a novelty, wouldn't you say, honey?
I would say so. Well, we'd never been to Mexico, you know. We didn't take vacations and go all over the world then. Yeah.
We lived at Lepanto and Mark Street.
That's right. That's right.
And get to Memphis. We did get to Memphis
yeah.
ever so often,
yeah.
but there wasn't any big long vacations to Mexico or Cancun or Monterey or any place else.
When these men lived so close, you had said before that you wanted to eat their food more than they really wanted to eat your food. Did you ever really just try what they were eating? Did they ever invite you to a tortilla?
I don't know if I ate theirs, but I did ate the ladies across the street across the road from the store. I can't remember ever if they offered us anything or not. I remember, like Wayne said, they hung out their meat. Remember that?
Yeah, sure did. Forgot about
no,
that.
Gloria was telling me that. She said, I remember them hanging out.
Yeah, they'd hang out. And that's the way it was in Mexico. They'd hang out.
It just life on the farm. That's the way it was. You just, whatever happened, you just roll with the punch. And you just, Daddy would, he, you know, it's just like learning to drive. He'd say, get in the truck and go over to the other, take it to the other side of the field. You need to take this over there. Well, maybe I'd never driven a truck before. But you just learned how on the farm. You just learned to do things. It was interesting.
You said you had, you have four sisters, or you have three sisters. There was four women. Did you have brothers at that time?
I have, yes, I had one brother.
One brother?
He was born in 1942. So he was, yeah, he was.
The youngest?
No, I had a sister that was born in 45.
Can you tell me, I guess, the order of your siblings? With
okay, I have a sister that's, now she's,
25,
85, 83. Okay. So I, and she's, she lives in Monticello. And then I have a sister that was born in 35. And I had a brother after this sister, but he died at 3. So then I have a sister that was born in 35. I have a sister that was born in 40. I have a brother that was born in 42 and a sister born in 45.
Mm-hmm. So you're among the oldest of your siblings.
I'm after this. I'm okay. 36.
Four.
Okay. 25.
Third now.
Yeah, 25. I don't remember how James was. I don't know when he was born. 25, 35, 36, 40, 42, and 45. I'm the third one.
You're the middle.
I'm the middle.
So you really do remember a lot of that time period. Do you guys remember anything else, anything unusual that happened with these men, anything that you thought was either funny or interesting?
I can't think of anything. It's just,
I'm sure at that time that there was a lot of things that I found very interesting, but, you know, you forget about, you know, those little things. But I think it was to us kids, I think it was a novelty. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In a way, because it was so different to have someone.
Well, you'd never seen anybody from a foreign country.
Right.
I don't know if I would have seen. It's us.
Well, I remember the Germans. The Germans.
Well, that's right.
Before,
but they looked like
we
did.
Yeah, right. But I think it was just interesting that they would come and work so hard and be willing to do it and we had, there was another group that lived on Jim Jones' place, which was about 3 or 4 miles, I guess, from us, but they would come up and visit with this group. I remember that. They would come up to our house. And there were some younger boys on that because, boy, they were good looking. I mean, they were.
Uh-oh, now we're getting the facts
back. I mean, you know, we didn't. I mean, they were some of these that I remember Daddy's.
Boy, tell the rest of the story.
I remember Daddy's group. They were just all older people. But these, some of these guys on Jim Jones' place, they were good. They were, seemed like they were younger. I don't know if they were or not. But I'd say they probably were in their 20s or 30s. So we thought they were cute.
Did you ever hear any gossip or anything about any of these cute ones dating local girls?
You know what? I don't think so.
I tell you, they didn't. They worked all the time. They didn't have.
Yeah,
time to
they
do
didn't.
Date.
They weren't. They weren't here for
they
that.
Worked.
But
I mean, they.
Right. But I remember Jim Jones.
But I don't remember any dating. I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Anybody.
No, I don't think they did. But, you know, you just see them and you think, well, they're kind of cute. You know, after all, I was just, what, 15, 13, 14, 15, something like that. But anyway.
Who brought them over, the braceros that were coming in to visit? Did they drive them over?
You know, I think one of the, this man had several children. I think they did it, the family members. I mean, I think they became kind of really good friends, you know, because some of them were younger. They could probably speak some English.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think they were, I think they just treat them like cousins, long lost cousins or something. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get the sense that these men missed their home or that they were lonely? Or
mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'd send that money back. They'd get a money order.
And they talk about the little vaquitas or what do they call them? The children.
All kinds of ways they could have called them.
What's the little children calls in sometime in you know Mexico?
Like niños.
But or pequeñitas.
Yeah, they would say oh and they'd talk about them. You know you could tell they really missed them.
Mm-hmm. But they sent that money home and they'd ship those sewing machines home and they'd you know they were really. Preparing themselves for the next whatever period of time that they probably wouldn't have a job.
Hmm.
And, I mean, you had talked a little bit about the fact that they had brought in guitars. Did you notice anything else unusual? Like you said, sandals, and you had said guitars, any other things that seemed extraordinary to you at the moment or different?
No. I can't think of anything.
Julie, did you have questions?
Yeah, just two things. The first is, I know some of these towns, and I can't remember if Mark Tree was one of them, had like a special recreational center that some of the ladies from the churches would set up where the Mexicans could go and play their guitar and they'd have puzzles for them and stuff. Do you have any memory of that kind of thing happening?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then my other question is, I saw in some of the documents that I was looking at that there was a time when Mr. Ritter was trying to talk to some of the stores in town because some of the stores in town didn't want to serve the Mexicans, and so Mr. Ritter was trying to convince them that they should serve the Mexicans. And I'm wondering, do you have any memory of this type of thing going on?
No, the only memory I have that Mr. Ritter, they had Ritter in a store.
Mm-hmm.
And they really wanted them to trade with them, but some of them didn't want to. They'd trade down the street.
Oh, interesting.
But, you know, they could spend their money where they wanted to.
Sure.
But if a merchant was nicer to them probably than somebody was in that store, they'd go wherever they wanted to.
Right, okay.
And there were several, Stignanny was still in business,
Stignanny
wasn't he?
Stignanny had a big
clientele.
I mean, he had a big trade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what it was.
What was this?
Probably what it was.
Did some of these businesses did the owners try to learn Spanish so that they could draw in these clients?
Well, I'm sure they'd learn a few words or whatever, but they'd come in and at that time it was just converting over from, you know, you'd go in and pick it out behind the counter.
Mm.
You know, I want this, and this, and this. But he'd been, you know, he's just in that conversion period. But they'd come in and pick up what they wanted, and most of it was staples. Now, I mean, you know, the meals and the flowers and the whatever. They didn't waste a lot of money on canned goods. They cooked. Took advantage.
But you didn't have a memory of like a certain bar or something saying no Mexican.
Remember, no. It was,
well, I was 9 miles south of town. I wouldn't have known.
Jay Moskop that was there on Main Street, and, you know, I guess they'd go there, whichever one was around close or where the drugs bar closed.
Now, I never heard of anybody refusing.
I don't either. I don't remember.
If it happened, I didn't hear about it.
What if they did? I didn't remember it. I didn't.
And Daddy didn't.
If it wasn't a big deal.
Right.
If Daddy, when Daddy brought them to town, you know, to shop, he never. He never said anything about anything like that.
Okay. And then you don't remember any other trouble with the consulate, the Mexican consul in Memphis, just sort of business-like. Okay. Yeah, those are my only last two questions.
James Collins will probably tell you some funny stories.
Oh, you know what? I do have one more question. Did they go to church?
No.
Did we have a Catholic church at that time?
I think this was down here, Second Orbits.
But I don't know that they ever.
I don't remember taking them to church.
I know.
And I don't know if they pick cotton. Seemed like they picked cotton on Sunday, didn't they?
I don't think so.
Maybe they took off.
Daddy didn't work on Sunday, so I.
Yeah, maybe they took off on Sunday.
He had hay in the field or something.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Get James Collins to tell you the story about one of them. They had problems with him mentally. And they found him down here in the Baptist church playing the piano. Forget him to tell you that story.
It's a great story.
That is a great story. I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, I think, you know, he evidently he had some mental problems or something. But
no, he wanted to play the piano.
No, they were, I don't know, get him to tell you a story. I think he was swinging a Kaiser blade or something. They was all scared of him, and he run off, and that's where they found him.
That's so funny.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.